Okay, we'll call this meeting to order at 6:36 p.m. on November the 10th, 2022. Okay, can you do roll call? You got it. All right, so let's hurry and go over real quick before our appointment shows up. I think, so Wyatt Griffith is the one purchasing the property. The annexation has taken place. It's been approved and passed on to the Lieutenant Governor's office at this time. And there's been some concerns about not having access to the property yet, as far as from us, not having our culvert installed. So we've invited them to come in and just give an update of where they're at, what they're willing to do. And that might be him here. But. So he'll just give us an update.
Come on in.
Let's see. Do we want to do, we can do minutes. And
Good.
Wyatt, put
you in the hot seat.
Put me in the hot seat. That's fine.
So we were just introducing what you're coming in as far as concern on the culvert crossing and giving them a little history on where we're at with the project, with the annexation. It did pass through Roosevelt City Council last week, public hearing.
There we go. No, we're good. I just had to learn how to operate the chair.
So, just
bring up speed on it.
Yeah, so give a little history on this. We were, our contract, I'm trying to remember the date on the contract deadline. We're out of contract at this point, but we're waiting on the annexation. Roosevelt City had a little glitch on their public hearing announcements being mailed out, so it didn't happen the meeting we were hoping it would. It was delayed 2 weeks.
Yes, that's correct.
Roosevelt City, they just started a implementation of a work session meeting, so we were able to slip it in before their regular schedule meeting. So everything is done at this point as of last Tuesday.
Tuesday. Everything was approved on Tuesday. So we had a public hearing so people could come and voice their concerns.
So Wyatt, just give us a little bit of where you guys are at, what your concerns are, and what you guys are up against right now.
So one of the concerns that we have is the access to the property. I understand, I know there's some bad taste in the mouth of the easement that's over there on Ross's property,
correct?
Anyways, so, and I understood that you guys are going to be putting in a culvert here, and I'm understanding is the road's going to run on that side of the building and over, is that correct? Okay, all right. So, anyways, we want to move forward. We spent as much time and effort and energy into it. We want to move forward with the project. We're not walking away from this. Anyways, we kind of would like to know a deadline. When do you guys plan on having that installed? Do we know?
Do we have all the approvals for the culvert?
Yeah, all the approvals are in place as far as the permitting goes. Now it's just a matter of selecting the contractor and working with them on their schedule.
Okay. Is the rating on that culvert for emergency vehicles, excuse me?
I believe we mentioned in there that would be the HS20 rating, which is the highway rating for all vehicles, trucks and...
Okay. So then we don't have any problem with the fire truck going through there and running with water and everything. Okay. All right. That'll work good for us on that part. Anyways, that was one of the concerns that we had, was kind of the time frame and what you got going there. We have no problem if you would like. We can put money into escrow and have X amount of dollars. I have no idea how much it's going to cost to put that culvert in. I'm going to throw out a number, say $100,000. We could have allocated $100,000 to install that, and in escrow, the rest of it would be sitting there, and the $100,000 would be allocated to that. We have no problem doing that if you guys would like to do something like that, to know that we're serious. We want to move forward.
So as far as the purchase amount, contractual amount in an escrow until the culvert is put in, based upon that criteria of some sort?
Yeah. So the money would be sitting there, and it would be locked up until that gets done, and then obviously you guys can pull it out at that point when we finish up. If that's something that interests you.
Now we have the pipe, correct? Is that what I understood?
Yes, we do.
Well, I don't think it'd be too hard to find someone to install it. I don't know. Maybe it is in this world.
Everything's a little different in this world, is it, right now? We're learning as we're going, that's for sure.
We're running out of diesel when we get to it. So.
Right. We've given the direction for staff to get some bids on that, and I think we've got a couple tonight to discuss. So.
Okay.
Do you know the time frame on construction that they could get going on these bids that have been submitted?
I don't know. I was under the impression that they were right away. And if we do it, it's got to be done about right now, because in the spring, the flows are up and it's harder to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You'll have water going down there. Didn't you think of that? Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The weather's still on our side for another 10 days.
For now.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's supposed to be a little dry for a few days.
Maybe five, huh? Starting to feel it, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
A question is, Chris, I haven't talked to Chris. He's the one that's leasing the property. He's aware of everything that's moving forward, right? And it'll be my responsibility to make it right with him and the agreed amount that we talked about to buy him out. I'm fine with that.
In the contract, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Make it right with
the owners. So where we're out of contract at this point, we would almost need to make a provision that upon the installation that we would recognize the existing contract. That is, now we're out of contract, but if we can revert back to the existing contract somehow in agreement that this is a binding contract still with the agreements that the culprit will be put in. The money will be put in escrow until that culprit is installed.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we can close.
Yeah, that's correct. And we're fine with that. So I think that shows a real effort on our end. We really want to move forward with the projects.
Thoughts?
I think it's in escrow the way that you stated.
Mm-hmm.
Until the culvert is installed. Who do we have? The engineering? Has the culvert been engineered or just approved?
Just more or less. So the culvert itself has that rating that we've talked about, and then as part of the permit for the stream alteration, we did some engineering to show your cuts and fills to make it work as well. We've got just minimal engineering on this one, but you should be good to just build it with selecting a contractor. So
how long is that culvert going to go in if we've got a 66-foot wide top on it?
It's not going to be 66 foot wide on the top.
Okay.
Because the culvert's 60 feet wide.
60 feet in length.
But the right-of-way is going to be 66 feet.
Right. So the culvert overall is how wide?
60.
6.
And the easement's 66, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick, am I going to run into an issue with Roosevelt City for that 66 that they require for road?
56 will need to, well, let's see, 44 will be asphalt.
Okay.
And then your 10-foot or 11-foot utility on both sides.
Okay.
64, actually 12-foot on both sides.
So we should be safe still. We should be
out. Yeah. Okay. What's the surface area going to be once it's built up?
The surface area?
The surface, the width.
With the slope.
The width. We have to look at that. I can get back to you on
just
that.
Just so we have enough for...
I think we, for the permit, we were looking at like a 24-foot wide road. But I don't know. That can change. If you put in a longer culvert, you can obviously extend that out.
Well, it kind of depends on how high you build it up.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So We didn't go into that much detail for the permit. We just basically showed the cross-section profile of it. And
so 66, well, what's our depth to the top of culvert? Do we have any idea on that?
I don't have the plans. Let me see if I can find them in the email.
We can look at it, I guess. And yeah, we just so we have at least a 44, you know, for surface.
On the top. With.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that we can asphalt and do what we need to on top to make it acceptable for the city.
If you want to get nitpicky, the site's not going to be... Yes, it will, never mind. I can say that'll be county, but it is going to be city right
yeah,
there to access the south, mm-hmm. the south property.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Side note, obviously we're going to be putting in lots in there, developing and putting lots. Are we still able to get supplies, materials, so that we can put in all of the meters and everything? I believe I came in with a few I chatted with, and we were having a few issues on some materials.
Yeah, we're having issues on meter setters.
Okay.
And we got a bunch of meters in, but they told us that any new ones would be like 6 months.
Okay.
So
I'll have to place an order ahead of time, by the way.
Okay.
Just one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. There was one other thing that we were really having a half the time getting. Corp stops, I think. I think that they were in short supply.
From what?
But they're kind of, it's kind of loosening up. It's getting a little bit better, but.
So it's about to get caught up on,
mm-hmm.
on material and shipping. Okay. Alright. Well, I'll definitely keep that in mind so that we're not scrambling at the last minute.
When you get your plan put together, as far as that goes, I think that'd be something definitely to get with Dixon on.
I think we're about 4 foot of hill on that corner.
On the top.
Mm-hmm.
So our slope will be minimal, right?
Yeah, probably about 3-1 slopes, I think is what we're talking about.
Okay. So run the trap on that. If we're 3-1, you said, in 3 foot? Or 4 foot, Phil?
That's 12 foot.
Yeah.
24 for both sides.
Okay.
And then we'll bring in water from this side. Is that correct?
Both sides, probably.
Probably.
You can have an easement through to 2000 South?
Yes. Yes.
So we'd like to loop it.
Oh, okay.
From here to there.
Keep it even pressure and mm-hmm. easier to manage. Okay, perfect. That would be fine. That would work great for us. We're aware of that. So, okay.
So the question is, where do we want it? You guys picked a place that was the narrowest, right?
Right.
And that would cost the least amount for fill and everything.
Right, yeah. Well, and less impact too, so.
So if I remember right, that was about right here.
Mm-hmm. How many feet roughly is that from, it's going to be the west corner over? Do we know?
So the easement goes right down here.
Okay.
So then the road would have to come over, and then it would be about right in the middle of this property is oh. where that would hit.
That's where it's coming across that end, huh?
So if you're designing it, you know, do you want it to come in straight? Do you want it to go over into the middle?
Let me stand up there. Is that right?
We've got it shown right here.
That's where you guys
picked
to put it in that.
Okay.
And that's just because it's the narrowest.
Right.
Be the least cost.
Okay.
All right. Let me chat with Joe and see. I'll look on the map and get measurements and stuff. If we have to pitch in some funds to relocate it a little bit different, are you guys okay with that to put it? Would that be okay to work with you on that?
Well, a lot of that has, you know, depends on how your
our layout will be, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I can chat with him about that, because that was one question I had asked you a while ago, but we never actually circled back to it and never got an answer. So.
And, yeah, quite honestly, we weren't sure
where
that was going to go exactly. We just, we're waiting on the crossing permitting and everything.
Okay. Well, that'll work. And I'll
I think it needed to make sense for your layout. I mean, if it's an addition to what we've had our engineers draw up as far as the cheapest route for us, if they're willing to pay on top of that,
I
don't think it's going to be any more money out of our Johnson's pocket.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, it should, to make it work for whatever it is that you have in mind, it needs to work.
Yeah, that's smart to plan. So, okay. Yeah, I'll chat with him. I have an idea where a road's going to go through, where we would like it to go through. I'll talk with him. If you guys can kind of let me know what the cost is going to be,
right,
and I'll know exactly where we're going to lay it and with the additional.
Okay.
And then we can work out the details there.
Well, we would need to know about it as soon as you could would be able to.
Right. We're going to make a contract. We're probably going to be making a decision on that.
Yeah. Okay. We get with him personally in the morning. We've already started doing our layout, how we're going to do it. So, okay, perfect.
Very good.
Yeah, that works. That works. So,
okay, any other questions for us, Wyatt?
On how far over, I can see the yellow dots, right? Those squares.
On the line?
Yeah.
Those are just property corners of the lots out here.
Is this right here?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the 10-acre piece.
Yep.
And then this will be the 50.
Yep.
Okay. So this runs through, and there's some sand dunes over here, is that correct? Some sand buildup?
Yeah, but there, most of them are pushed off the east edge of the property.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, that'll work then. I kind of drove over there and looked and seen kind of where the property line is, so I didn't know exactly, so, okay.
So, most of those sand dunes are right up in here.
In this area here?
Yeah.
Okay. And those are not off?
They're not on
the Johnson's property? Okay. All right. Perfect. So, okay.
That works. So I guess we'll probably need to do this by resolution. One thing that we do need to include in this, though, is when will you guys be putting money in that escrow? And are you going to use the same escrow that we already have?
Yeah, where we've already put the money in with Sunrise, is that correct? Or Sunset or Sunrise?
Sunrise.
Sunrise Title? Yeah.
Not you guys, you don't have it. You'll get it eventually.
Well, you've got it bad now.
Right.
Right?
Buddy. But anyways, yeah, that's the whole idea. They actually contacted me yesterday and was kind of curious. I mentioned to them that I had a meeting with you guys to get moving forward with them. They said, okay, let us know. But that's where the funds will go into.
Okay.
And we can set them there. So I guess all I'm needing is, I know we talked about a letter just stating that that culvert will withstand the rating, I guess, just so I'm aware.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. We've got that. Paragon sold the culvert to us months ago when you inquired about this.
Mm-hmm.
He did send over some information.
Okay.
Did he include you on that, CC?
If you need something more, if you've got that information,
he
needs something more.
Okay. He has the specs on it. He concurred with exactly what you said. It's UDOT rated culvert.
Yeah.
He did have the spec sheet though on that culvert.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah. So that's really all I need to know, which is make sure that it's rated for emergency vehicles, and so that way it covers you guys and covers us as we develop it. And then what was the other thing? Time frame. And obviously, I'm going to need. I'll get with Joe and figure out what we're going to do that, so then we have a time frame of when we get it installed. So.
So,
and I guess, and do you guys want us to allocate money for the cost that it's going to cost to install it, so they're separate, or?
What's your thoughts on that, Board?
Well, I don't see any need of that unless we move it and it's going to cost more
in addition to it. And that would come from us, that additional cost.
That would be my thoughts on it.
Okay.
Because we were planning to put it in. but it was down here, so.
Okay.
If that was to go straight through, how far is that down Dixon to where that road would be on a parallel?
I'm not sure I understand your question. So if
the depth,
well, wherever, where's our building at?
So our building is right here.
Okay.
And so the
it's running right there.
It's going to come right through here.
I just wondered how far that was down from.
And then you have to go over to here and then up at the proposed spot right there. You could go straight, and it's going to be a little bit wider.
Right.
So
one thing we need to consider too is the depth of where we're going to cross, because if it's going to be over 4 foot of fill,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose surface.
We'll get width. Narrower at the top. So, okay.
Which the culvert will have to be extended at that point.
Okay. Can we use the same length of culvert, Drew, and do a retaining wall on the top of it to keep our surface wide? Would that be accepted?
That'd have to be an engineered.
Yeah,
it'd have to be engineered. Yeah.
Okay.
It would just be more design on that.
It would probably cost more to do that, honestly, than it would be to buy 20.
Combine more culvert.
All right. Another section then.
Yeah.
Okay.
By far. All
right. Okay. I will get some answers on where we would like it to come across and then work with. Do you want me to contact you on that, Drew?
As far as the...
Where we're going to have it come in across, where we would like it, so then we can work out the price difference.
That would be fine, or, yeah. Or Dixon, we can probably need to meet with Dixon.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just have you communicate through Dixon on that.
Perfect. Yeah, I can do that, no problem. So.
And that way he could talk with the engineers and see how much wider we are and what...
Right.
If we have to do any additional.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, let's do that.
That works great. I can do that. So,
okay. So letter of intent with the date. The intent is already in contract. It's just more the date that we need, which would trigger the money that would be in escrow for closing.
Yeah.
So we can...
We're fine with us to do that.
Have you deciphered all this, Karen?
Sure.
I think I would like that to be in a motion, though, just so we, yeah. As far as the letter, the money in escrow, and to extend the contract.
Okay.
However you guys want to word that. Or however you want to do it. But I think it'd be wise to do that. Where we're at a contract, we need to recognize that we're extending for the reason of the culvert crossing.
Well, we've extended for more than the reason of the culvert, which for the Roosevelt City.
Right, a multiple of things. So. To extend the contract and issue a letter with an install date on the culvert or something until the culvert is installed. At that time, we need to have a closing date.
Want to attempt that?
That's a mumbo jumbo one. I don't know. Good luck.
We're going to have to work through this one. I would move that we extend our contract with Mr. Griffin to because of circumstances that we didn't have control of to and allow for the installation of the culvert crossing on the south side of the property. Help me out.
I think the just mentioned the purchase. The money for the purchase will be put in escrow once a letter is submitted.
That's fine
with an install move.
Yeah. And you guys are working with us on that, so the date is a little bit different. We're fine with that too. So.
And the money that is for the purchase price would be put in escrow until the culvert crossing is installed.
Okay. complete. Yeah, that would be great. Thanks. So we appreciate
anything
that.
We're missing?
No.
I think so. Karen, how did you do?
We did pretty good. It's a good thing we got the notation.
If you want to read that back to us, and we'll
see. Do you need anything in there with about the acceptance of the annexation into the city? Because that was part of that original contract. Was
yeah, I think we're good on that because the yeah, that's good.
That's part of it. Yeah, I think we're good there.
If you're good, Karen, if you think it's covered, we're good. So.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion on the table, made by Paul. To, let me repeat it real quick. Can I read that back to them?
Oh, sure.
I can. Okay, so Paul moved to extend the contract with Wyatt Griffith under circumstances that were out of our hands, that the property, let's see, The culvert will be installed on the south side of the property. The purchase money for the property will be put in escrow until the completion of the culvert. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's hacked, but it'll work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's perfectly fine. That'll work for us.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second? Okay. Dan Crozier seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, all right, and we'll get a letter issued. We'll have to work through that and draft it up and pick a contractor first.
Okay.
We'll get the cost difference potentially after you let us know where you think you may want it. That'll probably have to come pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I'll get that on. We'll get that on ASAP.
So we can get you in touch with Dixon in the next couple of days. Tomorrow will be in a holiday, so it'll have to be first
Friday.
So.
Tomorrow's a holiday, that's right. Huh?
So Monday, if you can.
Okay.
Yes, it's not for us.
You don't take Veterans Day?
We switched. We take the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Okay. You will be in the office.
We will be.
So you, okay.
They will be. Okay. All right. I'll see if I can get some answers on that. So that
okay.
I know.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we can use that same escrow account that Sunrise has, and then work that site.
Yeah. And I'll contact them tomorrow and just let me know where we're at. We're moving forward and kind of we'll get that set up, just waiting for a letter from you guys.
Okay.
We'll get the funds transferred in it.
All right. Sounds good.
Perfect.
All right.
I guess back to that question. The reason I asked the distance there is if you want a straight road into there, then it's maybe be helpful to have that footage there. But
no, it makes perfect sense to actually put it where we need it to be because what we're trying to do for layout. Really, I agree. And it would be nicer to enter in through because we're going to have a gated in there. We're going to have a gate. Pretty much right as you hit the first 10 acres, there's going to be a gate. The whole thing's going to be gated off. So there'll be a gate right there. So it would be nice just to have a straight shot instead of a turn. You know, we're human. We make errors when we get in a hurry. We turn sharp or take out a fence or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
The straighter we can make it, the better, in my opinion. So,
I guess you can pull all that up. Okay.
Yeah, but I can get my measurements off of the digital, off of Duchesne County.
Off the GIS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, very simple.
Okay.
Very simple.
Okay, that'll work. Okay, thanks, Wyatt.
Yeah, thanks for appreciating it, guys.
You're welcome
with us. Keep moving forward.
Hey,
thanks for coming in.
It's good to meet you.
That's why.
You need a shave.
I know. I will get with you, Dixon.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Okay. See you later. All right. Jason with Sunrise Engineering, you are up.
Okay. Just two things over. Last time we presented on the cost we received for...
We got this chair here for you.
Okay. Talk on some of this too, because she's been involved in getting some of this things put together. But last week we talked about the cost of SCADA that would be incurred in order to get the booster, lead line booster station and the tank set up on the SCADA. There was a question that arose on differences between AIC and SCI on their costs, and these are the same costs that we showed you last month. So there was that additional $20,000-ish that the AIC had estimated to do the radio equipment. That if you install the radios, it was a little bit higher than the $68,000 number. So what we looked at SCI's quote, and theirs did include the radio equipment. So you'd have a tower here at the office, and it would be able to communicate directly through radio communication. So if you're going to go that route, then SCI would be a cheaper route. AIC's proposal on their, by using the cell service, that ends up being a cheaper overall route, but it's one step behind as far as paving the way for future SCADA throughout the whole district. So that's just something to keep in mind there so you can give an accurate comparison. Along with the Ledge Lane Booster Station, we've completed design on it. We've checked with Division of Drinking Water with it. They're good with it. We've given it to Weldon to do a final cost on it so we can get the change order put together. He's going to be meeting with Jim tomorrow to go over the plans in more detail and then hopefully nail down the cost on that so we can get that back on track and get it finished up. Let's see, that's where we're at with the Ledge Lane project.
I had a question on the drawings. Jim and I were looking at them.
Uh-huh.
And you don't show meters in there, in the vault.
Okay. And that's something that we'll...
Yeah, we need to have a meter in there to see what the flow rates are doing.
Okay.
And also, on the TU Palco tank end,
yes.
We need to put a valve probably outside the vault.
Outside the vault?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, remind us, Jason, just refresh our memory on this. This is going to be included in, we've got funding for this already, or we're going for funding on the ARPA?
This is the remaining funding from the Pleasant Valley project.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. And it may go, depending on where the costs are, it may still be under, at that point you turn the remaining funds back to CIB, or it may be a little bit over, which is probably likely in this case, which the water district would be responsible for at that point. But.
So how much extra are we talking about? How much do we have left?
There's roughly $200,000 left for this project, and then we'd estimated, just pulling that up here because I wanted to have that available. So the pumps that we're going to be putting in place, sorry, give me a second. The pumps and the VFD that are going to go in place, that's going to be $20,779. And then there's going to be some more materials that the district's going to have to buy for the pump station, new ductile iron fittings for the inside. And then you have some pipes still left over from the project, but it sounds like you may need to buy a little bit more of that after our conversations with Jim. So there's going to be some more materials and then Weldon's costs beyond that. So the $20,000 plus the SCADA and then whatever Weldon's costs and materials are beyond that. So we'll have that figured out hopefully early next week and be able to have a change order put together and we'll know right where we are with the budget. So I know that that's kind of, you guys are trying to keep everything in the
well, it's hard to, make a decision not knowing how much extra on top of what money we've got sitting there.
Right. Well, and you're also trying to finalize your budgets too. So we should know, like I say, by the end of next week, we should have all that figured out where we're at.
Okay.
And then we can communicate that over to Jim and Dixon and on you as well, where it stands. And then you can work that out with your budget, how you need to, whether it's paid this year or next year, and then go from there. So,
so the pipe that we have left over, is it the correct size? Is that what we talked before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be close. I think we've got what was 14-6 or something.
Okay.
And we're going, how far is it?
So we're doing two new lines that are about 900 feet.
Each? No, so we may be able to shorten them.
Yeah, so we need a roughly...
So say stick, is that like a...
The 50 foot.
Okay, there's a...
HDP. Yeah. So... yeah, any other questions about the Les Lane?
So, I guess, are we looking to, we're looking for approval on this?
Right? On the Ledge Lane?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it'll be a change order that comes.
Okay.
And that's something that either Dixon or however you get, I think we've had either you or Jim sign the change orders up to this point.
Jim has been doing it,
so... just making you aware of that's what we're up against. And then, I guess, yeah, we could, if you want a recommendation, and this may depend on how Weldon's cost comes in, as far as which SCADA provider you want to go with on that list. We'd definitely take your recommendation, but it's kind of hard to make that decision without knowing the cost, so we understand that.
Gotcha. I have a question, Dixon. How important is it that we have this on radio, our own radio tower thing instead of...
Well, it's the expandability that we want. We want to eventually have everything on it to know where the flows are going.
Well, that's why I ask, you know, as an operator, manager, whatever, which...
Yeah, so if SCADA is easier to, the radio is easier to upgrade, then we'd rather do that so that we can have a dashboard where we can see where the flows are going. Because several times we've had breaks, and because we don't have any flow data, we don't know where what's happening. We have to search all over and close valves to see which one's roaring, you know. And kind of slow.
So
we're notified by, like, Clyde Watkins from Victory Pipeline. He says something's going on because the pressure dropped 5 pounds, you know. And then we started looking, and a couple months ago, we spent all day before we found it, and then we had to work all night to fix it.
Well, those costs right there would be paid up
so
pretty fast.
Yeah, and I don't know that this one would have caught exactly where that was. It would have notified us earlier. But we need to install flow meters around the district so we know when something's going on.
And these flow meters would all have the capacity or capability of tying into this radio system or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Which, so just to back up, the AIT proposal was to use Cell and your existing Cell service that you're getting information from the tanks with, and they were going to piggyback off of that as a more budgetary option. But ultimately, the long-term goal is once you start expanding, get away from the Cell and do the radio. Transmitters on the meters and then a radio tower here at the office to receive. So
did AIC, before the original bid that you turned in for AIC, what, a month ago, 2 months
uh-huh.
ago, did they add anything to that? Because this is a different price than what they had before.
The 68,000? What did you have before? We didn't change that from what I reported last time.
Okay, so they had the same, they haven't added anything to that bid?
No.
If I could have sworn it was like, without having a paper, I don't dare say. But. Okay. Well, if nothing's changed there, so basically we're getting a radio capability for future, and at the tune of $11,000.
Right.
Which is probably a drop in the bucket for what it would cost to upgrade in the future.
Right.
That's the difference between these two, and then this $20,779, what was that additional for?
That was the pumps.
So we're going to be $30,000 over. So what I think we're wanting to know is we need to know what we're going to be over.
Right, and we don't know that.
Right.
Okay. So you said you would be with Weldon this week.
So it's really hard for us to make a decision without knowing.
That's exactly where we're at.
That we're going to have to punt it down the road. Yeah. We can't make a decision.
But if we're looking at doing this before the end of the year, is that what we have to use that money? Is that what
No.
So we'll just have to, until we have hard numbers, I don't see how we can... how we can make a decision.
As far as the SCADA thing goes, yeah.
Well, the SCADA, it's not
talking about
SCADA,
the final total.
It's the overall project, right?
Yeah.
So how much are we going to be ponying out of our coffers?
Yep.
SCADA included.
Yeah.
The overall. So for the overall project, doing it in increments, the SCADA, I think that one would be a fairly... easy decision, but overall, rather than dissecting it into,
right.
It would be, I think we'd probably better have an overall number, in my opinion. What does the board feel?
Well, I feel like we need an overall number, but if he has that number in a week, then we really should, if we need to have another meeting and say, let's get going before fuel and everything is farther up from the... I might be talking out of turn. I don't mean to do that. But
no, that's
and I just totally wait for another month to have another meeting. If we can get final numbers.
Sure. And I guess
I agree.
Maybe the direction we could take too is if we get the costs for the change order and we're still under budget to proceed. If that's the case, which one of these would you prefer to do?
I think we need to go with the one that puts up the radio deal to make the future.
Look at that.
But we're not just talking about that. We're talking about pumps, the VFD, the whole project.
Yeah.
So the main thing we're waiting on is a bid from Weldon, right?
Yeah. To install the pipe and put the pumps and plumbing inside the booster station. And then the SCADA side, it would just be them hiring whoever you'd recommend as their sub to go do the SCADA work.
Now, do we already have a SCADA pack that we use, the telemetry at all? What do we have right now?
We've got two different systems. One's FleetZoom and one is 123 SCADA.
So this will all be replaced by what they're doing?
Eventually, yes.
For this project, we're focused on Ledge Lane, and I think SCI has talked about using FleetZone. Continue to use that. Is that what you remember?
I don't remember. I get it mixed up between the two of them.
So they're not going to be replacing the SCADA pack because we already have it, as far as FleetZone.
Right.
So this is just the start, and it's for Ledge Lane, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, but they can use our FleetZone software that we already have.
To bring it in.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Right.
Well, if you get those numbers soon, then get them to Dixon. And if we need to meet, let's try and meet before we get a whole other month down the road.
Right.
Well, you could pass a resolution that if it's within the amount of money we already have to just proceed.
Right.
You know, we could absolutely.
And do we even need that because we've already approved it? We have already approved that within the budget. But if it's going to go outside of that budget, then we need to buy a resolution for sure.
But as long as it's under budget, you'd rather go with the SCI on that one is what you're saying then.
I think either way it's going to go with SCI.
Okay. I'll make that, I'll communicate what the change order comes in at as soon as I get that information, and then we'll let you know where you stand.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that by resolution.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Okay, if it makes management of the water in the future better.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I think we're all under the agreement that that would be the way to go. So we'll just do it by consensus.
Okay.
Sounds
good. Moving on, we've talked about the will serve policy and the book connections and what we're up against there. And I've got at the back of your packet, there's this form here that's highlighted. And this is a draft will serve policy with some policies that are in place as well for the book connections. And so on that second page, where it talks about book connections, no new book connections shall be issued. Existing book, and these are things for you guys to look over and give us some direction on what you want to do, and we'll give you the opinion that was expressed. But in addition to these policies, you can change these, and we can talk about buying out the existing book connections or charging the impact fee to existing connections. When I discussed it with my planning group, they said that based on the agreements that were had with those existing book connections, it seemed like a bait and swap to start charging those guys impact fees at the same, in addition to the connection, because those agreements very well make it sound like it was everything associated with getting a meter in the ground. Ultimately, what that comes down to is a board decision on whether you want a policy to do that or not. If you do, then there's the risk of repercussions of, you know, having people file an action against that type of a thing. Ultimately, what he said is that's going to be a question for Gail McCackney on how the agreement is written. Would charging an impact fee on top of those book connections, would it be in a violation of that agreement that they have? And so that's ultimately our recommendation. We've drafted a few different options that you can consider for the book connections as far as policies go, and that's
what book connections is always these that have been purchased and
not being used.
Been purchased or have been given in exchange
for easements.
For easements or water rights or whatever.
They're book connections because they're not hooked up.
Right. So in a lot of case scenarios, we, Johnson Water, give connections historically for easements, for various things to get things underway, and they never got used.
So some water districts, once somebody has a book connection,
mm-hmm.
they still charge them a...
impact fee.
Not an impact fee, but a standby fee.
Oh, yes.
Every month they charge them a standby fee because we have been entering into contracts and taking up bonds and doing maintenance on the system that because they own a small part of that system, they have to back it up
mm-hmm.
with a standby fee. And you can set the standby fee whatever the board decides is fair, you know.
Right.
So it could be $5 a month, it could be $100 a month. You know?
Did we determine how many of these dormant connections we have? Are we talking a bunch?
Are you talking about ones that are on the book or connections that aren't being used?
Yeah, just the ones that are on the books that haven't been. So not dormant, sorry. The what are we calling on the books? The book connections, I guess?
There's probably at least 50.
Okay.
That I know of.
Well, what you're saying, the system is in and upgrading and stuff, and those are still there to be allowed.
Yeah, so all those connections are not paying us any fees since they were issued. Okay. But we have incurred costs in order to provide them the water when they decide to connect. And so it's a cost to us to have them on the books.
Right.
And because we signed a contract with Victory Pipeline for was $179,000 a year, but it's up from that because they raised the rates. And that's available water that the other customers are paying for, and these other guys are just sitting dormant, not paying anything on it. But it's a cost that is incurred by the company. The other thing is the operational expenses and maintenance costs of maintaining the system. They bought a connection, 50 years ago, whenever it was, but they're not paying any operational fees. And yet, we're carrying costs for them.
Well, I guess what we need to do then is find out from Gail or an attorney how we stand legally to be able to start charging those fees.
I think you mentioned buying them out, didn't you, in there?
Yeah, that was one of the potential policies. And these bullets here are all potential. You guys can pick from. One of them is setting a date to buy out the connection. So existing book connections are to be either converted to a completed connection or bought out by January 1st, 2025.
At what rate would we buy them out at, the current rate? That's going to be a big fee too.
Right. It could be...
So if we buy them out, there is no impact fee, right?
Right.
So we're not going to pay them $4,000.
Right.
And there's no connection fee. So.
So they buy.
I think we could say that how much did they pay for them? $300.
There's some $400, some $700.
Like double their money and give it back.
Some $15.
I think Gail's going to be a good contact on this. Moving forward, it'll be easy. But retroacting this is going to be sticky.
Right.
Because I'm sure there's going to be those that bought it for an investment.
Mm-hmm.
To use, not to sell, but to use the water connection at some point. And 50 in my mind, I mean, it seems like a lot, but overall, is it that much?
Right.
But you know, there's nothing to stop us from charging a fee.
Sure. But moving forward, I think we definitely need to get something in place so we can stop it now and draw a line so we don't keep going.
So you can do a hybrid where you pass a whole hearing, you say you're going to charge a monthly, what do they call it, the standby fee?
For a book connection or something like that.
So you give them the option. You pay that fee of whatever you decide it is, or you buy it back.
Right.
At this set cost.
Yeah.
Well, something we can definitely look over and review.
Yeah.
It's a starting point. That's what we need, is something to look over. Are we still having people purchasing connections now and just sitting on them?
No, then make them come in.
So it's not necessarily a past issue, not a...
But, like, with the tribe, they want a certain number of connections for the easement.
Yeah. And I see that as we progress our system and grow our system and we do some of these things, we could experience the same problem again. So if we have something at least in place to cover it, because now we're talking about it, it'll probably happen. So, okay. Well, I think that's something that we need to digest and go over.
Yeah, definitely. And then along with that is will serve policy. Basically, if you've got somebody coming in and wanting to put in a subdivision in your district, this is a will serve policy that basically gives you guys the opportunity to say, okay, here's an application fee that goes, that will be charged, and that will pay for a review of any connections added onto the system, particularly with subdivisions. And there's kind of like a rate structure there for a subdivision, $500 or $20 per connection. The ERU is the statement residential unit. So whichever's greater on that, just to pay for an engineering check to make sure that your system is not adversely affected by that. And so that's included in that as well, so review that. And
you do have a cost?
Those are, yeah, sorry, it's on that third page. third or fourth page. No, second page.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
Yep, submittal requirements.
Perfect.
So there's a rate schedule there, and that can be adjusted. Some districts do it different than others, but those are just some preliminary numbers, placeholder numbers that you guys can look at, and then maybe you can settle on something officially if that's something to be adopted. But
that's good, because we are, to the expenditure of the district's money on
right.
these, definitely we're encumbering some fees, and
right.
we do need to pass that on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
I like that.
And then the other thing, we've got our impact fee analysis completed, and this is this big packet here, but this outlines the methods and assumptions that were made for the impact fees for the district. But ultimately, what you're able to see is at the end on page 12, you see the recommended impact fee for a culinary water connection. For just one residential unit, we've got a maximum of $9,958 that could be charged as an impact fee to new connections. So anything that you do charge that's within that price range is an acceptable impact fee as far as this study is concerned and as far as the state regulations are concerned for impact fees. So that's the main thing. There's also a table below that one that shows suggested impact fees for larger rate, larger meter sizes based on their flow capacities compared to a 3/4-inch meter. So you've got like a 1-inch meter would be a 24,000.
So this is not the recommended. This is just the maximum that we can go.
Right.
So what's the recommended? I mean, what makes sense? Are we under? Do we need to raise a little bit?
So
is that included?
Ultimately, yeah. And if you go back through, there's a list of projects on table 6.4.2 on page 11. There's a list of projects on here that have been incorporated into this calculation. So some of them are like the East Mighton system, and there's some assumptions on there of how much that's going to cost. There's Independence Connection, there's meters and SCADA improvements, and then one of the big ones that really pushes this over is if you guys ended up putting a tank on top of Flattop and running the infrastructure to and from that tank, that was a big project cost. That really jumped this one up. So that's the cost per ERC incurred to do those projects, essentially. So if you follow along with those projects, which are coming from your master plan, and if you follow through with those and do those, these are the costs that, if you wanted all of your impact fees to cover it, that's what you would have to charge, that $9,000. Now, if you're able to get more grants and other funding sources to help pay for those, you may be able to supplement those and bring them down, understanding that you do get other income types that can help supplement your capital improvements. But, yeah, I mean, the recommendation is that $9,958 based on the analysis of this is going to be able to cover your capital improvements for the foreseeable future.
Wow. That's not going to be very popular.
And ultimately that is a district decision on
right.
on what you actually do charge for an impact fee. When we do these, we show that recommended maximum to be able to cover all of your bases, but understanding that people are not necessarily going to pay that much.
Well, and also, we're not going to do all the projects.
Right, and that may change in the future, too, of which ones you do. So take a look at that. If things look off on that, let us know. But ultimately, this is the analysis that we've performed and been able to recommend.
Okay. All right, and it's maybe something that we can go through with our master plan as well and look at the improved eligible projects that you have on here and
right.
say, okay, this is going to be a 10-year out.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, maybe in 10, 15 years we're looking at this, but in the next 5 to 10.
Yeah.
So, okay, all right, very good.
Okay, the next item I had, I handed out the map last meeting. Was there any review or input from those maps that we handed out that we can take back and correct and finalize and get you guys the wall map?
Will they show up darker, more distinct on a larger map?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure on that.
That was very, it was very hard to read.
I hope I prefaced that printing it on a small sheet is going to make it harder to see, but.
Yeah, as long as we can legibly read it.
This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. This will be the precincts and basically the precinct map, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's better than what we've got over in the corner there, so.
As far as the precincts go, do they look correct? I think that was the biggest question that Ben had, was making sure that those lines are and those borders look right.
Without having a digital copy, there is no way you can tell.
Or maybe this is what the district, or what those lines become.
Well, I looked at it for a while, and I don't know.
That, you can't tell off of that map. You almost have to have a digital that you can zoom in on to tell the. Unless Dixon, does Dixon have a digital copy?
Yeah, I believe I shared that over to you and Jim a couple months ago. May have to go find it, but.
Maybe we better review and just double check before you do print that up just to make sure. But as far as us being able to tell on that map, that's impossible. So I guess we could give that assignment to Dixon to pull it up on his digital copy and just make sure, Dixon, if it's good, then cut loose with it.
You don't know what date you sent that, do you?
It was probably...
Is it a PDF?
Yeah. Well, it's actually a link because the PDF is too big. It's a link that you download.
Yeah, and we tried and we could not get it to download.
Okay.
That's what... Yeah.
And I think Jim gave me that. I resent it and I hadn't heard back, but we can try another form. I did bring over a jump drive with it on, didn't I?
Last time.
Yeah.
Set that one right there.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it probably is. There it is.
What do I want to do here? No thanks.
Yeah, we don't need to print that. Let's just put the PDF.
Well, and who? The county would be the one, I guess, that would determine the precincts, right? They're the ones that have it recorded. So I have no idea.
We went off the documents that you had and drew those lines in along with what we had on this map to just piece it together. And that's how we formed these boundaries. So that being said, there's a few holes in there that we're not sure about.
So what is that, the north side of...
That's Wedge Lane up there, the pole line.
The pole line is the dividing line there?
Oh, no. So the change in color is the dividing line. So between the hatches, there's...
Well, this is all... I'm all in the same precinct.
Yeah, you're
precinct.
On the same precinct. And then you jump over right by the water office, it changes precincts into that purple color.
That's a different precinct?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, the colors need to definitely be definitive because that is really hard to tell.
So then you go to green right here, right?
Yes.
And then white, is that what those are? That's all dusties there, right?
That looks green to me there. Oh. The other look white.
I don't know how you...
Yeah, we can do a different hatch there. This is a hard one because we're trying to keep it transparent so you can see streets. And if we want, I mean, we can change it to just a map background instead of a satellite image background. And that way you don't have so many colors on the background map that are conflicting here.
Can you attach it different directions?
Or could you just fill in the hole without the hatch lines and different colors? That would probably be the easiest.
You could do a see-through.
Yeah, a
see-through. Solid color.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would definitely can.
Okay. Well, I think it's something that you can work with staff on and fine-tune that so the colors are legible and we can see it. I think we'll satisfy what we're after.
Okay. I'll bring that input back to them and make sure that it's clear to see the different precincts.
I guess we need to be pretty sure where the Uinta County line is so that we know what voters are in the Uinta County, too.
Right.
That's
it's not shown on there.
Okay. Right down there.
Yeah, it's not shown distinctively. Yeah.
Okay. Show the county line.
I think that would be useful for the county.
That's not. Well, maybe it is. This is this. I can't tell.
Well, we'll put it on there.
Yeah, just make sure it's in
the east, so the county line is just this way.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got a direction anyways. And
yeah.
Just work with Dixon and Karen. And
okay, we'll make sure those hatch colors are a little darker, easier to read, and then we will put in a county line to make that clear. And maybe even between the districts do a borders, thicker borders,
that,
so
that
you
would
know
be
the changes too. Yeah. Okay.
That's your county line there, isn't it?
I don't know.
The
yeah, line. I think so. But why does it jog in here?
That's just
no.
The border of your
of
district.
The district.
The border.
The border of the precincts. So. Well, yeah, actually, that is your district border that you've got the shapefile for.
So what?
Then why does it
why
go
is it
the
here?
Other side?
That's, yeah, and that's where your district border has got some holes in it in your GIS side. And so I think if we can nail down these precincts based on the descriptions, we've got a better idea.
So
is that the
Roosevelt City, that's how we do our zoning map?
Yeah.
So something, you know.
Yep, good, solid.
And as you zoom in, though, it's transparent. You can actually see the boundaries
mm-hmm.
within the roads.
Okay.
So that
we'll change that up for sure.
So this dotted line right here is pretty close to the county line.
Yeah. But that's just your district boundary line that you've got in your GIS, which doesn't encompass Independence at all. So that's something I think what we'll do is we'll redraw that boundary line based on the precinct descriptions that we have, which encompass everything that's hatched, and then build it that way.
Okay.
Okay. The next thing is the Independence Connector Project. So we got your authorization letter from Division of Drinking Water, and then they sent out a checklist of things that need to be completed. They want to meet to go over that checklist. I emailed Heather Pat, she's the one, or Petit, however you say her name, Patty. From Division of Drinking Water. She's now assigned to us. Initially we had Elisa Brawley, but she has moved on, not working for Drinking Water anymore, so now we've got Heather that's helping us. She sent out an email with an updated authorization letter just this week and asked about setting up a meeting between Eric Johnson, the district, and Drinking Water's bond attorney, so that they can go over the details of the authorization letter. So she's going to be scheduling that. We'll find out about it. I'll communicate that over to Jim and Dixon so we can know about it. And then, along with that, as far as the design goes, we've put together a work release, and that is this document here. So the work release goes through and includes all of the design work, the bidding work, and the construction admin work, as well as, per your guys' direction last meeting, we included in there the tribal right-of-way. work that needed to be done with it. Now, initially on that tribal right-of-way work, we had estimated in this area, we had estimated having to do a lot more work on these lot T parcels, these yellow ones. But as we got into it, we started doing some preliminary work with the BIA to find out how many lot T's we're dealing with there so we could nail down this cost better. We found out that the tribe owns over 90% in both lot T parcels. So we are going to be dealing primarily with the tribe the entire way. And the other owners in those lot T parcels are, they're called fee type owners, which the BIA said that they don't even deal with those on their end for the right of ways. So we only have to deal with the tribe in this case. We've set up to have a meeting with the tribe on December 7th to visit with them. So we're starting to move that direction and start to get everything in line to make that happen.
So that's just a meeting with Sunrise, or is that a meeting with Charles and Walter?
It'll be with the business committee, so they... Yeah, we've got Johnson Water on the business committee agenda for December 7th. So, yeah, we'd need somebody from Johnson Water. We can represent, too, but it'd be ideal if we had somebody from Johnson Water there as well. But ultimately, that takes the cost...
Time on that one?
Yeah.
December 7th.
I think it's 9:30. Let me double check.
So the cost for the tribal easement, because we're just dealing with the tribe on that went down. We do a lot less coordination. We don't have to reach out to all the allottees like we initially thought. So we had quoted you $138,000 last time, and now that's down to $100,000 to do the work. And that includes the work for the surveys that need to take place and the environmental assessment that needs to take place along that route. So the cultural, biological, and all of those surveys. It also includes the, not the assessment, the appraisals that need to be done by the third party appraiser that's approved by the BIA.
What was the, there was a, an option to do away with the appraisals by...
Yes, and that is something, if the tribe business committee will allow you to forego the appraisals, you can work out an agreement with them, and they can authorize you to not do the appraisals. Hmm. And the way, when we talked to Shawnee about it, they said that basically if you come in there and say, hey, we're wanting to come through here, we're going to go through the right-of-way process, but we're willing to offer, like, connections, per se, to the tribe in this case, which is kind of counter to what we just talked about with your connection quality. But in this case, the tribe may say, okay, we don't need to do the appraisals if you guys will give us connections. That's a possibility. So that price even may go down as far as what it will take to do the tribal coordination, but
so
really it's...
What about offering them the cost of the connection?
That's what I was thinking. If we allotted money for a connection, they in return give it back to us to buy the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do have a policy in place and we can't.
Right. And that's a challenge.
We have to follow policy.
BIA's experience with the tribe is that's their preference, is just getting offered connections, and that's what speaks to them. But you may be able to just say, hey, we're willing to give you the money for that it's a price. Just go that route. And
that might be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. So.
So when you say connections, is that how many?
And those are going to be on the books.
Exactly.
They're not going to be used.
Yeah.
So we're going down the same rabbit hole we're trying to get out of.
Yep. So.
Okay.
That's...
Yeah. Well, it might be best just to buy them out as far as whatever that is. And, I mean, we'll fill it out, because this is a project that if that's the game they want to play, we probably need to figure it out.
Yep. So...
Or just pay for the appraisal.
Or just pay for the appraisal.
Right. And having the appraisal could also be to your advantage so that you can say, if they come back and say, hey, we want 20 connections, you've got an appraisal that says it's only worth 5.
Right.
So I would definitely recommend that. They kind of, they didn't officially pull that, but they were going that direction when we were dealing with it with Tridello. Oh yeah, we'd love to have 20 connections because that's what such and such district got. They didn't put into their minds that, you know, that was a totally different situation, totally different property values. They just saw the number, oh, they got 20 connections, so we'll just do 20 connections here, type of a thing.
So what type of presence do you feel would be good at that meeting? I mean, staff? Do you need board there?
Yeah, I think if Dixon and a board member, if they're able to come, I think that would be really helpful. So Dixon or Jim,
you guys,
and a board member.
December 7th. That's way in the future.
That's another month away.
Well,
it's a Wednesday.
Maybe what we should do is Dixon, if you would just make a note a week prior to the meeting of reaching out in an email, and let's see where we're at as far as scheduling goes. But it would be good for one of us to.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, as far as feeding cows, is 9:30 is no problem.
Right.
Okay,
so tentatively put Dan down, is that what I'm getting?
that's what I'm hearing.
So. All right. What time was it, Curtis?
9:30. Yeah. It's hard to plan ahead of time, though, because there's many times we're morning of, or at 9:29, you'll find out they're not meeting. So.
Yeah.
Or at 9:35, after you waited 5 minutes, you'll find out they're not meeting. So.
Well, they might wait an hour and a half.
Or that, too.
Can you sit in on their meetings, or do they, by appointment, they let you come in?
I don't know.
Pretty much by appointment.
I've never been to one, so I don't
know. Yeah, that's my understanding, too, is...
Just by appointment.
You need business to be...
Sitting there. It's not an open meeting room.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on the color of your skin, I suppose, but...
Sure. Okay. All right. Moving on.
So, along that being said... The total fee for this work release ends up being $376,000. The $120,000 would be the design fee for this one, and that would be a fixed fee. Everything else would be cost plus, so it's time and material, even for that tribal coordination with those budgets set at those numbers. So I sent this work release out a few days ago to Jim and Dixon and to Karen. And so, yeah, as soon as we get that one signed, we can make it official and get going on it.
So remind me on the funding for this one. Remind us again where we were at, what we were doing.
$2.2 million is the funding you got, and Johnson Water had committed $100,000 of their own funds for this project. And, so I think it ends up being $2.35 million.
Okay.
For the whole project, and you guys got 2.25 of that in grant. No, this one actually came from the Division of Drinking Water, and this was federal funding. It actually wasn't the ARPA funding. It was a different funding package that came through. It was still part of the COVID relief fund, but it was from a different pot that they were able to pull from to fix this one. So. There's a few more requirements on this funding that they are going to be requiring the David Bacon wages and the Buy in America steel products. So that'll be something to keep in mind as we get into construction and in our construction documents, but not too bad other than that.
Okay. So we've already approved this. It's just we need to sign your work release.
I don't know. Have you approved?
We approved the funding.
Well, you approved the funding, yeah. And this is just the work release for the engineering.
Right. So. Okay, so we probably need to motion, I guess, to proceed with this, I would say. Do you want to do that?
I could so move.
Okay, Paul moves that we move forward with Sunrise Engineering for the work release on the Independence Water Improvement Project.
Seconded
by Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Unanimous. Okay, so who do you need to sign this?
I think we've got Dusty.
Okay.
Well, actually, we don't. We don't. So just a representative from the district.
Which copy?
Probably a board member.
Which copy?
Any one of these copies would be fine. So you can sign that one if you'd like.
You don't need an original? With your original signature?
No.
Okay.
No, that'll work.
Okay.
So, yeah. Cool. And then your right-of-way mapping, I noticed you put that one on your agenda. It's pretty well complete. Our GIS just had a few questions on a couple of those easements, but I can have them reach out to Dixon and get those answered. But that's what that one stands. We've got everything entered as much as we can into your GIS system as far as your right-of-ways go. So.
Okay. All right.
That's all we have.
So one quick follow-up with you guys as far as billing goes.
Okay.
We've been invoiced for the analysis project. Is that all that's on this one? Is just the analysis?
This is... Sorry. Yes, this is the impact of the analysis and the code update.
Okay, so what we... Going back to August... when we approved this project. The impact fee will be approximately $3,000. The board reminded the engineers that we need to know about connections, blah, 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 blah. So we're well over our...
Oh, the impact fee itself is what we were talking about in those notes. And that was our initial review of the impact fee. Not
the actual fee that we would be billed.
Yeah, not the billing for it. That was just what.
And okay.
So that was our recommendation. We included the flat top tank and then it jumped it up to the $9,000.
Because of the flat top. Okay.
Yes.
So that encompasses the flat top tank and everything else that the.
Okay. Yeah. So the invoicing on it is, I think we had. $6,500 for our fee for the invoice. That was our contract for the impact fee analysis. $6,500 for that, and then it was additional for the code update.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was just time and materials, and right now on this one they were up to $1,715 on that invoice. And I can go through and get more information on that if you need.
Yeah, we were just reading through our past minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to confuse you with those.
No, you're good. Numbers, you're good. Just dollars and cents and keep track of everything. So, okay. All right. Okay, well, appreciate your work on this. This is good. This is a step in the right direction, and this Independence one is, holy cow. It's been at least the full tenure of my time here, which has been over a decade. So,
right.
I'd like to see this one get done one day.
Yeah, definitely.
So
we're excited to work on this for you and help you out.
And I think we've got a workable business committee right now, it seems like, which we haven't had in the past, per se.
Yeah.
Who is the chair now? Who's on the board?
Sean.
Sean is the chair? Oh, good. And I've been impressed with Sean so far. From what I've dealt with him on, I think he's a fresh breath so far.
Good. Yeah, we're hoping for the best on this. We're thinking that this right-of-way process will go pretty smooth now that we're just primarily dealing with the tribe. And we'll see how it goes after this business committee meeting. I think there's a lot of questions. We're going to keep poking and prodding at them and keep this one moving in the right direction because we know that that's what it takes with the tribe is a lot of babysitting. So. We'll make it happen.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Where are we at now? Finally, to the minutes. Okay.
I'm going to hand those. You guys have your minutes.
Okay. You guys have had a chance to review your minutes. Karen, this is this one. Okay. We'll accept a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Okay, second.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Or corrections?
Okay.
Calling Dan on all of them. They won't remember.
I didn't see it myself.
Okay. Well, if there's no corrections. All in favor of accepting the minutes as stated, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion to accept the minutes approved. All right. Moving on, financials. So you've got your financials there. On the back, I assume this will be our pre-budget. Mm-hmm. We had a copy of this for the last month as well to look over. So we've got one more month to review this, so, right?
Yes. Next month is the budget hearing.
So next month we have to adopt it, right? So if we need to make any changes, now would be the time to do it.
Yeah, or make sure you've got it ready for the meeting.
For the public hearing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing's changed from last month on this?
I think there's probably a little bit of figures because last month it was 3 months, this was 2 months to guess on the work.
Okay.
So. But it's pretty close.
Question on equipment that we've got here, a line item for Traco. So is this money we're just putting into a sinking fund of some sort? Or, I don't remember talking about this with the board.
I don't think it's been brought up before. We were just talking about the wish list.
Okay. But do we have money actually allocated for that? Or is it...
The track hole, I think we're... We've got some. I just can't remember what it is right now. And I forgot that.
So is that something that we need to approve, though, before we start putting money aside for a wish list item? So that come out of the general, or where did the money come from for that?
It's not in those right there. They're just on this paper right here for right now.
Okay.
And there are just some things to look to see whether you want to put them in there.
So we have approved the dump trailer already, if I recall. And what did we, what happened on that one? Remind me, I can't remember.
I don't know if we approved it. We talked about
I think we
were going to put a dump bed on his truck.
We approved the dump trailer. I don't know if we approved
it. Oh, did we just discuss? I thought we approved.
I don't think we actually approved the dump trailer yet.
So these are just costs of what it would
be?
But
they're approximate costs
of what they would be. But we don't actually have money set aside.
Some of them we do. The truck we do.
The truck we do because we've got an ongoing...
Hang on there. Tracto, I can't remember. My computer's on it. Close it up. I didn't.
Okay. So these items are basically just the wish list item that for consideration.
The truck
is something that is on a... We're putting money aside for the truck. Actually have a line item for the truck replacement. The dump trailer...
So this $50,000, is that the difference between the trade-in value and the new one? Is that what it is?
Is that just what money we've got
No, I think that's what we've figured what a new truck might cost would be.
Well, better go get another bid.
Is it higher than that?
Well, I don't know. You know, I guess, what is it, half ton?
That's true.
Four-wheel drive. I'm sure.
That may get it done. I don't know.
I don't know either.
How many miles do you have on your truck?
99,000.
So we need to look at doing that.
probably this time. I would probably get it.
Do we need to look at upgrading that truck, though, to pull the dump trailer?
Well, we've got two trucks that will pull the dump trailer right already.
Yeah, I think for fuel mileage.
Yeah, for mine, I do a lot of traveling for, like, meter reading, Blue State. And if you got a bigger truck, you're just going to be burning more fuel, and it's harder to turn around, and it's not as nimble.
Yeah, we've got the other two one-ton duallys that we've got in our fleet. So we probably need to get an updated bid on that. We're thinking about doing that, just so we have enough money in that line item, I guess. If we're going to approve it, we want to make sure we got enough.
Do we know how much money
you trade in, or do you
sell
out, or
anyway,
try and sell it?
It's up to us, however we want to.
I just wonder how you...
It may benefit us right now to try selling on our own. The price of used trucks right now.
Used pickups are 3 yards come by, I understand.
So.
Especially, you have a full maintenance
record
and all that stuff along the way.
We've got receipts from oil changes and stuff.
Well, that's...
We don't keep a checklist, a log. Maybe we should.
It wouldn't probably be a bad idea on all of our equipment that we have, backhoes and everything. Just have a maintenance log. Okay. All right. Well, just look that over, I guess, and make sure everything looks good. We gave it a glance last meeting as well, so...
So this $15,000 dump trailer, that's not a very big trailer. What is that?
Basically, just I think it's a
bumper pull,
either a bumper or a
gooseneck
dump or one of those dump trailers. I don't think that's a tandem. Is that a tandem axle?
I'm sure it'd be a tandem, $15,000.
Or tandem dual is what I meant. Tandem dual or just
tandem
a tandem
dual.
Single.
I think it's just a tandem single.
Which is probably because $15,000 is not minimal very far on the trailer.
Well,
did Jim look? Did he price them out somewhere?
I don't know.
I've been looking them over a little bit. And it's within probably $3,000 or $4,000, I would guess, but depending on how.
I don't think it's like we need a real big one. Just
haul some gravel.
Haul some material.
Clean your mess.
Well, that's why I just wondered what the size was and what it was actually.
Yeah, what happens is normally when we have to shade or repair, you know, we have to get a whole or a half load from Dale. You know, we never know exactly how much it's going to take, you know, so sometimes we'll get a full load, sometimes a half load. But a lot of times we end up with extra. So we've got piles all over the district of extra just sitting there, you know. It'd be nice if we just brought it back to the yard, and then when we don't need very much, we could just load it up with a skid steer and then haul it out and bed the pipes.
Dump the full load here and then take what
right,
we need.
Exactly.
It would be good to get something that you can pack the skid steer in. That way you can go to these job sites like you're talking about and move gravel around with just one trailer, because you can pull them into those dump beds.
But on the Traco, the reasoning behind that is we found lately we're getting in a lot of places where there's no place to put spoils and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so with the Traco, you can, you know, you get 360, you can spin around and get rid of it.
There
and are. We've just had a couple jobs like that lately where it would have sure been a lot easier to have a mini excavator or a MIDI, you know, rather than a backhoe, because you just can't handle everything you're dealing with that, you know.
So on this, what size is that? Is that a mid-size? Or?
That's what he was looking at, was the mid-size, not
rubber. So do we have a trailer that'll haul that now?
Yeah, we may need to look at updating that trailer one of these days too, potentially.
Yeah.
Would it weigh more than the backhoe is now, then?
Well, the size we're looking for, I think it'd be comparable.
It'd be the same as the Case 580, I think, is what... It's a rubber track, right?
I think that's what he's looking at.
The city just bought one of those, that size of a Kubota.
But they do have, I mean, if we're getting serious at some point on that, they do give government rate discounts. I think ours, the city just bought with a $12,000 rebate that we got. That's pretty significant.
We got it from ag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway. Okay. Very good.
I just went to the Kubota Dealers Convention in Dallas.
The Neptune 360 software.
Oh.
Bart Bragg and paid my way.
It's almost a must.
What with Zach?
Because we're going to have to upgrade.
Oh, right above it. Okay. Yeah. So the Neptune software, Karen's, go ahead on that, Karen.
That is to do with the meter readings and that. And so...
It's on the same page.
Yeah, just right up at the top.
Okay.
And it'll have to have a tablet to go with it to read. So they figured that it'd probably be about $4,000 for the software plus the tablet.
Okay. So that's a necessity. Dixon's truck is probably going to be priority. These other two items, it's up to the board, I guess, on what we want to do there. But we don't need to probably decide on those.
Where's the fencing? Where's that?
So we probably need to know where that money
right
is
here.
Come from.
And around the tanks.
Where they're going to pull it into here.
Right. Okay.
So is that like a chain link type situation?
Yeah.
Those are items I think we need to...
I think this needs to go.
Yeah, everything on that top end, the flow meter calibration and all that, it sounds like. So, okay. So we will be having a public hearing on this next month to approve the budget. As far as the wish list items, how do you want to handle those? Dixon's truck, I think, is a priority. 99,000 miles, we need to replace the truck, sounds like. But as far as these other items go, want to consider, I think it would be, in my opinion anyway, this would be a list that would be good to have eyes on it months before, just to plan. This is, there's some big expenditures.
Is that track hole, is that going to allow more pipeline to be installed in-house, or are we still going to be contracting everything out?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that.
If we're going to have it, we got to justify it.
Well, it's got to be used.
It's got to be used.
The thing is, they're only allowed so many feet to install pipe. A year, so.
Before you have to bid them out, or
Well, what it is,
we can do projects.
We can do up to 1,500 feet a year without it being engineered.
That's what it is. So we can do that.
We can do our own stuff as long as up to 1,500 feet, and anything that's engineered, we can do that too. If we want.
And that's in total for the year, or is that?
Every year, 1,500 feet.
Without being engineered.
Without being engineered.
But we can do more than that. We just have to go through the engineering process.
So the problem is on doing our own projects is time. Because we even with three guys, we're running.
Well, that's why I ask. I just, you know, I realize. And I know very well, you know, I run track hole enough to know that it's very convenient.
Yeah.
But I just wonder how many times you run into a job of convenience compared to...
Yeah, and I really don't think it's, just off the top of my head, I don't think we're going to put in a lot of our own pipeline. Big projects, like, you know.
The backhoe that we have, we don't put a lot of hours on the backhoe.
Right. So if you split those hours...
We're not going to put a lot of hours on either machine at all.
The tobacco we just sold was a, what, 13? And we had under 1,000 hours on it? 700 hours?
Yeah.
In almost 10 years? 9 years? It's less than 100 hours a year.
No, it wasn't that old. We actually bought it. It had a few hours on it when we got it.
Well, it had to have been at least a 13 because DEF came out in 14, and it was pre-DEF. So it would have been 13.
We bought it from, it was a used one when we got it, lightly used.
Oh, that's right. It did have some hours on it.
But we had, so this is like, the one we have now is the fourth backhoe since I've been here, I think. Because we had one, we actually got a new backhoe just before Jim came on. And then that was the new one we got is the one the guy stole and ripped everything up on. Then we sold it for another one, and then we replaced that one with this new one.
Either way, they're low hour machines.
When you run into a track hole, easier deal are the rentals, any of those things,
that's an option.
Better option?
That would probably be
our better option.
For now. To justify that kind of an expenditure for me anyway would be something. Let's do a rental for now and see how many hours we're actually
going. And I at Ragnar, you know, if you've got a job that needs a track hole to do it, if we could rent one and they usually will deliver it to the job and unload it and haul it away.
I like that idea. The dump trailer, I think we had a very extensive conversation about that, and I felt like we were all in favor of that.
I think we were all in favor of it.
But I think the timing was the truck was coming, we were thinking about a hydro bed that dumped, and then somehow or another it kind of got lost in shovel.
Yeah.
So the dump trailer, the consensus that I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, is we were in favor for the dump trailer.
I think so. I know, but I don't think we ever approved it.
So, but I think we need to get something we can use. Those single axle, or sorry, double axle, single tire ones, you can only put so much weight in there. It might benefit us to get a dual.
But if you're just taking material for one,
right?
If you need a dump truck load, then order the dump truck.
Right, that's true. That's true, too.
You're taking a couple of scoops to...
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you don't want to have a tandem axle.
Right. Just get something that will work.
Something that...
So...
Haul it, but.
As far as bids go, I think that would be something we could maybe, if we're stick with that and see if we need to adjust it, we can move some money around, maybe, Karen. So whatever you guys want to do there.
You'll probably go to a leak trailer and get a bid on a dump trailer.
Jim's been checking it out. I don't know everywhere he went, but I think he said the best prices he saw was someplace in Vernal.
Yeah, there's a place right when you come into Vernal off the left that's got a bunch of them.
I don't know.
Okay, so you want me to take and the flow meter and all that and add that into the budget and the dump trailer, right? And Dixon's truck.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe they make them better than they used to, but we do have a dump trailer that if you're going to use it, you better figure on doing some regular maintaining. And
Okay. So I will accept a motion on the financials.
I make a motion to accept the financials.
Okay. Dan moves, Paul seconds. Any discussion? You got a second to review over, I guess.
When you guys were looking on the budget, the pre-budget thing, the ones that's highlighted in yellow, are most likely going to be the ones that are going to be over budgeted. And so we'll have to raise it. Just so that you know that.
So do we? You're going to have that prepared, though, for the next meeting?
Yeah, it'll be there just so that you know that there's
okay.
1, 2, 3. We've done really good.
5 items is all.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
And some of them's not that far, and they might... This month's bill, next month's building billing, they might be down lower and we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
So, but anyway.
So the yellow is what was budgeted, and the line is what's been.
Yeah. So if you look like the on the first one, the budget that we budgeted last year was 105, but I've got it here as estimate that's going to be 117,000.
Looking at travels, meals, and lodges, we did gain another employee as well, so that's needs to be considered. How, just an update while we're here, I guess, on Ryan. How's he doing overall? Is this is he coming on his testing?
He's doing okay. He's a hard worker. He's designing something and he goes after it.
Good.
He knows the system pretty well. We got to help him out so he can pass that. His
certification. How many times has he tried?
Only one.
One time, okay.
And he didn't miss it by too far. But.
And remind me, we had built in his contract a raise when he gets certified.
Okay.
So we do have a little incentive there for him.
Yeah, okay. 250. It was 250 an hour more.
I'll tell you, if you're not used to testing, those tests are tough. They're hard. Any test, especially the older you get. So no, that's understandable. I just was. If you guys assist him a little on that, that'd be great. So.
But he's a good kid.
Good.
He works.
Good to hear. All right.
I like him.
And Dixon, it would probably be, just to throw this out to the board, maybe, Jen, I don't know what next meeting is going to be, how intense that will be with our public hearing, but maybe January, just have him come in and report or, give us an update on what he's doing, what he's seeing, just so we can get a feel for him as well. So,
yeah.
What do you guys think?
Be good.
Yeah.
So he knows we're aware of these views.
Yeah, and we appreciate him. And we can tell him that. And Jim as well. So they can report in their various areas. Okay. All right. Any other discussions on the financials? Seeing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor?
All right.
All approved. Motion passes on accepting the financials. Okay. That leaves us with the manager's report.
Okay, so we've been having some challenges with balancing our water flow because either both companies want frack water at the same time or neither wants frack water. So it's feast or famine. So we've been having to do a lot of adjustments up and down, back and forth. So last week we were down to a couple of nights where out of Bridgeland we were taking 5 gallons a minute. But we also take water out of Lake Borum at about 80 gallons a minute. So it wasn't really 5, it was like 85 gallons a minute for our whole system, which is really low. And then we've been as high as like 2,000 gallons a minute, so,
wow,
shows you, you gotta, oh, also, it wasn't 85, because we get another 200 gallons a minute put into Ioka tank, and then we take out of there, but at night, it really slows down, so the tank will fill up a little bit at night, and then you lose it during the day, so, anyway, a lot of fluctuations going on. And they finished the treatment plant where they now have that pre-processed treatment where they put the flocking in the water, and it takes out the algae and organics and everything. And the filter runs have extended from like 12 hours to 72 hours.
Hmm.
So they're just happy as can be over there because their workload is just diminished a whole bunch. And we were hoping that it would boost our chlorine levels, but when we slow down and we're not fracking, our chlorine dissipates before it gets here. So we may have expenses of either adding chlorine boosters or flushing. So, and when we flush, it's just like you feel guilty wasting water when everybody says save water, you know. So you guys want to run your wheel lines in the middle of winter, we can figure out a way to do that.
This is where this hydrant was opened up by Iowa Tank Line.
Oh, you got some calls on that? Yeah. And it was open all day long, and the water's leaving Iowa Tank at 0.6 parts per million. And I did the figures on how fast it was going and everything, and I figured it would take 3 hours to get that chlorine down to there. But the insides of the pipes are coated. They have biofilms in there, and those biofilms consume that chlorine. So even though I left it on for like 6 hours, I was only getting like 0.15. So from 0.60 to 0.15. And the water had turned over twice. And so hopefully with this new process, we'll reduce the biofilms over time. Cold water improves it. Chlorine lasts longer. And even though it's kind of counterintuitive, we've got about the warmest water of the year right now going into the treatment plant. So it should improve over the winter. Right. But we may be looking at having to put in chlorine boosters because we're supposed to get that chlorine to the end of the line. But in past years, I've had a constant flush going at Fillingham's Pond out there. And it flows maybe 150 to 200 gallons a minute. And I've left it on for 2 weeks straight. Never got any chlorine.
Yeah.
So it's just a total waste of water.
Yep.
So we'll have to put chlorine injectors at Ioka, chlorine injector at Vaughnsville, and that's probably at those two places.
Well, what the cost of water is looking at what those chlorine injectors, what that would actually entail to be able to have them.
Well, you've got to, they made it a lot more expensive because, I don't know if you remember the fluoride catastrophe in Sandy about 4 years ago, where they had a fluoride injector that malfunctioned and it pumped way too much fluoride into the system and it poisoned a whole bunch of people in Sandy. And so now drinking water requires, when you're injecting any chemical in, that it be checked on a daily basis. And so what you do is you have like a sodium hypochloride sitting on a scale, and the scale readings are coming through your SCADA system, so you know how much chlorine has gone in every hour or every, you know, whatever time you do it. And you have to check that every single day. And then you have to have alarms built in so that if it exceeds a certain amount, then you get alarms going off that your injector pump's not, is overworking or whatever, you know. So, like at Vaughnsville, we don't have electricity up there. We would have to bring in electricity, build a vault next to the tank to put the chlorine injectors in. It's an expensive deal.
That's what I was asking, what kind of new things involved with it.
Now, with this booster station, we can put a facility right on top of the booster station or next to it and inject chlorine in if we have to do it there, on its way up to the tank. And then we don't have to haul chlorine up to the tank. In the past, we used to inject chlorine up inside the tank when we were getting water out of the well. But it's a trick carrying a 55-gallon drum of chlorine in the back of a pickup truck and then unloading it and hauling it into that little vault room up there. So,
what's our liability if we don't have adequate chlorine in the system?
The bacteria.
Well, that's what I mean. If we make people sick, what's our liability there?
Well, I don't know. Whatever they can get from an attorney, I guess.
We haven't had chlorine in our systems for a long time.
Well, and
Not lack of trying,
you're right.
If we're opening ourselves up to...
And we're not the only ones that have got this problem. I know Roosevelt's having the same exact problem. We can't get chlorine through the system. It's just, to me, it's a victory problem, but that's a discussion for a total different day.
Why do you think it's a victory problem? I'm just curious.
I feel that they, in the design of their system, with the impacts and the connections that they've sold through their system, I feel like it wasn't engineered properly to disperse the chlorine to the connections that they sold.
Because we take it out at pole line, and then it goes up to Ioka.
Right.
And we always get very high chlorine out of Victory.
See, at the end, though, Roosevelt, we don't. Because it's dissipated.
Because you're taking it out of your tank.
Right.
So have they run the tank at a lower level to maintain chlorine, for example?
Well, what's the purpose of having a tank? Not to run it at a low level, right? It's to have the capacity, the volume. So I guess...
I don't want to interrupt, but our tank, we run it, we can, like our Bridgeland tank, we normally run it like 18 to 19 feet all day long and all night. Mm-hmm. And so it'll fluctuate 2 feet all day,
right,
at the most, unless we have a break or we start a frack and we haven't adjusted the inflow, okay? So we adjust it just right. And it's the same thing at Ioka. And we don't want somebody's house to burn down, but if there's a fire, we've got like 70,000 gallons a foot in Bridgeland. And we've got like, I think it's like 38,000 at Ioka. Mm-hmm. And so if we've got 10 feet of water, that's 380,000 gallons. They're not going to use that much water on a house fire.
Right.
And so, and even if they do, we will know that there's something going on. We can increase flows,
right,
in an emergency.
For larger municipalities, though, it's a little different.
But does your tank go up and down quite a bit all day?
Yeah.
It empties over half empty?
So on our wells that we are still currently running, that tank, before we got the well that they just barely got online, our new tank that we just built, before we had that one, it would fluctuate. It feeds another tank, another 2 million gallon tank, and those tanks fluctuated big time.
But they're building a new one up there.
Yeah, now we've got the new one. It's going to be a different story, but I don't think it's online yet.
So where is it at?
Up at Hayden.
Oh, okay. Because there's one there on the highway.
Yeah, that's the one that
years ago.
That's the one that fluctuates quite a bit. So, but it's just a story for another day. But yeah, chlorine's not just Primmy to Johnson. We've got problems other places too that we're trying to deal with.
Because we have that same problem. It comes into Ioka at 1 part per million, and it goes out at 0.6.
So it's dissipating in the tank.
It's dissipating in the tank.
Yeah.
That's why we run it at a lower level sometimes to shorten the stay in the tank.
Right. So, for example, though, Roosevelt, with the customers that we have on our system, say summertime, usage goes up, that tank fluctuates a whole bunch.
Yeah, I can see that because probably the majority of residents do not have irrigation water.
Right? A lot of them, yeah. So, anyway.
And most of ours do.
Right. So.
A lot of them. Right.
So when you say it runs at 19 feet, what is full?
Bridgeland's full at 23.4 feet, and then it overflows.
I see.
And Ioka overflows at 20 feet, 20.5 or something like that.
Just a question.
Yeah.
We need to take a tour one of these days, have a meeting and just go on a tour. I think it would be good to see what we've got, because I'm sure Dean doesn't know where our tanks are even, and I haven't seen him in a long time, but anyway, something to plan on, good weather.
Yeah.
So, okay. What else do you have for us, Dixon?
Okay, so, also, we started talking about chlorine, but we've had a couple of breaks, and the PRV at CNS Meats failed. The control, the pilot on it has copper pipe going to it, and the copper pipe blew out, and so the thing went wide open, so we went full pressure, and it blew apart a pipe out in Pleasant Valley. So not only did we have to fix the PRV, we had to fix the pipe out there. So the good thing is we found out where our pipe was. We didn't know exactly. But and then we had to repair the PRV, and it hadn't been maintained in probably since it was put in, and it needed new seats and new stuff, and it's going to be an expensive build when that thing shows up, because it's a 10-inch PRV. It's like this big around, and we had to hire Clay Val, the expert from that guy, and he had all the parts and everything. Helped Jim fix that. Anyway, so we had all these little cascading events because of that failure. People's toilets started running. A couple of other individual PRVs on high pressure lines failed because of that high pressure. We had to replace a couple of those. Anyway, it's just part of doing business.
Right.
Then we were going to go over the fee schedule in your booklets on part 3. And
I did read through all this stuff. But
all of it?
Well, I'm getting on number 3. See, that's why I asked to pin one spot down. So
that's a good way to do it.
So, just what my thinking is we're going to go over this and explain what these various fees are. We have suggested, well, we haven't suggested any what amounts of what they are, but some of them are going to be based on what they've got with the impact fee and stuff like that. So, first of all, if you see in your book, it talks about the fees shall be in an amount sufficient to pay all costs and expenses incurred by the system. Let me see if that's
right. It's A1.
And so in connection with operating, maintaining, depreciating, replacing, rebuilding, or making capital improvements to the district's culinary water distribution system, including, without limitation, all obligations due and payable to the district to its bond holders. And so when we have a connection, we have that base fee. It's like the foundation of our fee schedule. And that's what everybody should pay, whether they're on or off, because we still incur the cost for them, whether they have their water turned on or off.
So that'd be like seasonal.
Yeah, it's like
whatever.
So if they want it shut off, they can come and pay a shut-off fee, but they still have to pay The base rate. Because we're still incurring those costs. You know, we still have to pay for the water we have reserved through the Victory Pipeline and from Duchesne City and everybody else.
So if somebody has that shut off, is there a return on fee with that? You know, if somebody leaves.
Currently we have a
for safety issues, it's not a bad idea to shut the water off.
Right. We do have a turn on fee. We don't have a turn off fee though, do we? But we do have a turn on fee, right? So this monthly base fee up here, you see it's a quick slide somehow. So that monthly base fee is what we need to charge every connection every month. And then the initial rate block is, we're required by the state to have for water conservation, that is, they use more water, it costs them more money per. But we can set what those steps are. You know, whether it's over 10,000, so from like 0 to 10,000, and 10,000 to 20, or whatever we want to set those at, and then the amount extra we charge on that based on what it costs, you know.
That's what was represented on this page, correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what our current one is right there on that fee schedule. So, but that's the idea we want to get through, is that there's that base fee, and then there is the, and that doesn't include any water. That base fee does not include water. Water, the cost of the water is on top of that. So even though they don't use any water, it's still costing us maintenance fees, depreciation, everything else that it takes to run, you know. Whether they're turned on or not, you still got to pay your employees, you know.
So do we have a base fee?
We have a hybrid right now. We have a base fee and it includes 6,000 gallons.
Right. But we don't know exactly what the base fee is out of that $40.
Yeah.
Because we haven't accepted
so
that.
So what we could do, we could, I haven't crunched the numbers, but you could drop the base fee to 35 and then charge for the water. So most people would end up paying the same thing for up to 10,000 gallons, you know?
Yeah.
Or that's something you got to look at.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so that's, and these are the elements that go into that. The costs and expenses incurred with operating, maintaining, depreciating, replacing, rebuilding. And then there's standby fees, which are different. Standby fees are like these guys who bought connections and never hooked up. But we have a contract with them because of the fact they own a connection that we are going to provide them water. But they're not paying for, they're not paying for any of the overhead of the company. They're not, right, currently. And so the standby fee is to get them to pay a certain amount, whether it's $2 or $5 or $30, whatever we determine, there should be a standby fee because we've stuck our necks out for these people, and we've made commitments, like with the Victory Pipeline, for example. You know, we have to make those payments on the Victory Pipeline whether we use it or not. But if these guys are still in standby, they're not paying anything, you know. So we need to look at maybe changing that.
That was what he was calling book.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to review a little bit more. And that's one that we probably need to get some legal counsel on for sure.
Yeah.
Moving forward, it's going to be easy. We can get a policy moving forward, but the retro, that's going to be tough.
And another example is that say these guys who were talking about building the 400 houses out there at the intersection, you know. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But in the future, if somebody comes in, and we have to look at, say it was going to happen, say it definitely was going to happen, well, we have to stick our necks out quite a ways for something like that. And so he builds a subdivision of 400 houses. And he builds, his plan is for 400 houses, but he builds 25. And then if we're in standby mode while he's waiting to build the rest, but we're still incurring the costs of of providing the water and the infrastructure for that subdivision.
Right. Outside of sizing it for 400 and you're using 20.
Outside of his actual subdivision, we have to put in infrastructure to get that water to there. And so it's going to cost us money. So while those lots are in standby mode, they still need to pay a monthly fee until they're actually connected. That's the idea. That's the idea behind it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this is just these numbers are not, you know, these are just ideas. You know, right now we're paying a base residential of 40, but that includes water. And, you know, we might have a standby fee of 25. They're just placeholders. They're not, you know. And so on the connection fee, you charge them the cost of the meter and the cost of installation of the meter and the office work that goes with it, locate and everything. So that's just what you would charge for installing a...
What's our security deposit right now, or do we do that? We don't.
So there's two security deposits. If we hire somebody to, or if they hire somebody to install a meter, then they need to pay a security deposit in this scenario that if they damage the line.
So a bond, essentially.
So, yeah. And if their connection goes well and nothing happens, that's totally refundable.
Okay.
Whereas the new customer connection is
right.
Is the, what was it, 100 or 150? 150, and then after they have a 1 year record of good payment, then it's refunded or something.
Same with on our security deposit or our bond. We would give them a year or 2 years, or what is that? How long would we hold that? Common practice would be 2 years, probably.
On a
bond for a construction, for a developer, say a developer or a somebody.
The way they talked about in this one is that after it's inspected, if they've connected it properly, the contractor's connected it properly, then they get it back.
They get it back. Gotcha. And that would be standard reason. It's a little different than roads and things like that.
So then there's this whole list of other fees, alternate water service provider fee. So I don't know that we have, this could come into play. Somebody built a subdivision and they say, well, we're going to have 12 houses, but one of them decides to drill a well. And they say, well, we're going to use our well. And
can they do that legally? No, I don't. They've tightened up on those well laws.
Yeah.
If they don't have well.
If culinary water is available. And
I think it makes it
you have to tie
in
the culinary water.
And so far of sewer, you got
that's within 1,400 feet, I think, of sewer. But.
So anyway, what that is a fee that they charge because originally it was going to be, it was originally projected that they were going to use your services and then they didn't.
Right.
And then there's the buried meter service fee, where you charge somebody for getting access to their meter. And then these guys, they're like sticklers. Existing connection meter replacement and connection fees. So what they do is they go through, whenever a property changes hands, they have a $100 transaction fee. I'm not saying we're doing the same thing. I'm just telling you what they're doing.
Who's this? Who are
you? Mountain Regional. They have a $100 residential transaction ownership change fee. Then the water district sends somebody out and looks at their meter or their yoke and see if they have their meters up to date, or if their backflow check valves on their yoke are up to date. And if not, they have to be replaced, and the new owner has to pay for the meter and the yoke plus the installation.
So it's just like a real estate transaction where a home is sold, there's a fee to
And so they check that. Some people come in, they say that they're going to build a house or a business and they want a fire flow report fee. I mean, a fire flow report, well, that takes a little bit of calculations, you know. So we charge them a fee for that report. And then some people say, well, I don't think your impact fee is right. And so we charge them an impact fee review fee.
Sounds like government to me.
And
I have to leave at 2 in the morning, so
we got to get moving.
If there's a chance.
But anyway,
half an hour. Oh, well, I'm hoping it's half an hour.
So
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So we've got to go over these fees and decide which ones we want to use, which ones we don't, and how much we want to charge for these fees. But we give away a lot of service for nothing to some people. And I think it's my opinion we should charge for it because it's costing us money and we're losing revenue. So we need to get it set up so that we have a policy on what we're going to do. So
we're, I guess the direction we want to go is review the fee schedule or the Title III or whatever we want to call this, fees.
Yeah, and decide what we're going to do.
So with Jason's recommendation on the standby fee and a little bit more feedback on that, that's probably going to be crucial to get some of that information before we can move forward on this one. So we can move this along. Homework for next meeting, I guess. Do we want to...
Can we keep it on fees for next meeting?
Yeah,
let's do that, because I think if we progress forward, we're just going to get behind. So I think that's a great idea. Let's just kick the fee one to the next meeting. Let's review it again and put some input in, and hopefully
that's
Jason.
Been very helpful.
Yeah, it is. Because if we look at the whole thing overall, we're just going to keep spinning our wheels. So I like to break it down. I think this is a good way to do it. So
okay,
perfect. Okay, anything else, Dixon?
No.
All right, thank you for that. Okay, so let's see where we're at here. Open and closed meetings.
Every year we have to cover open and closed meetings. So we're going to take a lot of time talking because I don't want to talk. So I have made you a copy. Could go in your books. It's punched everything, so you have it.
Perfect.
And it'll...
Read it? We have to read it?
Yep.
Okay, busy enough.
Big time.
Homework. And training along with that. Yeah. It requires a certain amount of training, especially for new board members.
Yeah. So we need to... Oh, Dan, did you get your class in for...
Pardon?
Did you get your class in for new board members? You took it down at Real Water.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they give you a certificate or anything?
If they did, I don't know what, where, when, or... No, I don't remember giving me anything.
Okay. Usually they give you one statement you've done it. Just so we know, because we have to do it on our budget next year, stating whether you did it or not.
Okay, so spend some time and read through that, and any additional training we need to get turned in. Okay, property update. I think we've pretty well covered that one. Just reiterate, I guess we need a letter once we... let's talk about that while we're with property update. I think Culbert Crossing will fall into this category. So just coming to the meeting, we've got a couple of bids that has been given to Jim. Weldon Construction and Ken Richens were the only two that submitted bids. A little bit steeper than what we were thinking originally. We were hoping around $25,000-ish to get this done. They come in at $56,000 and change for Weldon and $36,000 for Ken Richens. So from my understanding, when Jason was explaining it to us, they did give out basically a bid criteria, so everybody bid on the same. It is materials, labor, and install. This is Weldon's cover sheet, if you guys want to all read over it already. Ouch.
Yeah.
That seems really high. If for 3 feet of cover.
If we move it, we need to make sure that...
Do we just rent a dozer and do it ourselves? It's a day project. I don't know.
So a dozer or a trackle?
Right? I mean, honestly, if we could... Is this something that we could cut loose with a couple of days at least and do in-house and save?
I don't know what kind of material you spec, but there, if you put in the right kind of material around the pipe, and you could fill in, there's piles of that sand out there.
Right.
And you just got to push it in.
The aggregate, obviously, would have to have aggregate around. And they are talking about fabric and a bunch of other things. It's pretty extensive, but what's your thoughts? You guys have obviously talked about it, I'm sure. Or did these just come in today, or have you had them for a while?
I think Richens came in just today or the day before yesterday or something, because he was meeting with Robert. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But Weldon we've had for a week or two.
Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts?
My thought was we could take the backhoe down and do it, but Jim says no, the backhoe will sink and gets stuck. So
rent a trackhoe?
Yeah.
So something you guys...
It's just a matter of what comes up while we're doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if we get called out on different things, you got to have at least two guys working on it.
Is this pipe, is it just, there's no wing walls or anything?
No,
it's just straight pipe.
Yep.
Drop it. You're going to have to armor up stream.
You have to what?
Armor up stream.
Oh.
Say that again.
Armor.
Armor. Put rock
riprap. So upstream on the side. Yeah. Yeah.
Which we'd have to... have that hauled in, but...
But if we had a dump truck, I mean, we've got some repairs where we've got cobble rocks.
Right.
Piled on the side of the road we haven't hauled away yet.
Well, I mean, it's something that 36,000 is more realistic, but even that's probably 10 or 15 over what we were actually thinking it would cost.
Well, I guess we need to see where this feller's, you know, this is supposed to be our share of it.
Right.
But if it's going in a different location, we need to be able to look at what trees and stuff are there.
Right. Well, I think that's going to be a big consideration is where is it going to go? If he's willing to pay on top of, it's going to be more labor intensive if we go somewhere else. I mean, on the creek crossing, it's going to be more time.
These trees, if they're just going to grind them off, they're going to be back with a fury.
I don't think there was that many trees where they're talking about where we were crossing.
I don't think they need to grind them off. They just need to yank them out.
Yeah, the trees are minimal through there. Tamaracks and sagebrush.
There's some great big dead trees there, but the ones that are growing aren't that big.
No.
I guess I'd like to go back and look at it exactly when, if he comes back and said this is where we want to put it, then we need to go look at that site. I would agree with you, Dan.
So, the place he's got it is there's two high banks on both sides, and they're about 15 feet deep from the top of those down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, I don't know. I haven't been able to...
It's shorter though, right?
It's shorter, but at the other spots where it's more gradual, if you're only putting 3 feet or 4 feet on top, then you're going to have a dip,
mm-hmm.
but there's still plenty of fill to push down there, and you don't have to cut as much on both sides, so I'm not sure which is the better deal.
Well, I think the thing to do to progress this forward would be to... Let's break it down. Decide wherever it's going. Let's assume it's going in where we think it's going to go, where they bid for the crossing. if we're going to go that direction, do we want to try to do it in-house, or do we want to employ one of these contractors to do it? Let's make that decision. And
I think we need input from Jim, because he's going to be the one man in the excavator or the bulldozer or whatever.
That would be nice to have him here tonight.
And he has more experience moving earth than I do, because we've got to get... He had something. He couldn't come. I don't know what it was. But.
Well, when Wyatt comes back and says, this is where we want to do it, then we need to go look at what's there at that point.
Yeah. But we're going to have to...
If we can get that, I'd be willing to come sometime during the day.
I'm just wondering if we have to do this by resolution, we're going to have to make a decision on whether to employ or not to employ, or have a special meeting.
I think we're probably going to need a special meeting.
Which we can do. We just have to have 24-hour notice, right? So if Wyatt comes back Monday, then you guys communicate with us, and we can come on site and look at the ground during the day and then call a special meeting accordingly. Does that sound good? Okay. Okay, let's do that. We don't need a motion for that, so we'll just punt that one to next week, if you guys are good with that.
We'll keep us informed.
Okay, thanks, Dixon.
That way Jim can be there.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If he's going to be the one doing the dirt work, he needs to be okay with it too. So, okay, all right. Utility financial assistance. What did we find there? Did we find out anything on
that? We sent in the paperwork to the state.
Okay.
So we just hear back from them, I guess, and we filled out all the form, confidentiality stuff, and we sent it in. And so as soon as we hear back from them, well, I guess the people of Plata, I don't know. So the only way he advertises, we put up a flyer out there saying contact the state. We don't go out soliciting.
No. Right. It's a program that's offered, and I think UBAG's the one that actually does the...
It's the Department of Workforce Services.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So...
To be continued on that one, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the state's got it. I imagine when they go over our application, they'll send us back some communication saying, okay. So they had two options. You could... have access to the portal or non-access to the portal. Well, if you have access to the portal, and I think you'd have to be a big city to want to have access to it.
Right.
And I don't totally understand it, but there was a whole bunch more. You had to have stuff on your computer systems, like security apparatus and stuff like that. Whereas we didn't have access, we just...
Do the bare minimum,
and they...
Okay. Well, just so we're, that's the progress, so sounds good. Okay, pre-budget. We kind of went over the pre-budget. Karen's going to adjust those areas in yellow on that, just so you're aware, for next month. And public hearing, so we're good on that one. Okay, what I've got here, action items. I don't think we need an action on this, but just so we're all on the same page. Letter and date, we can go over with that next week, I think, when we meet, because the culvert crossing, we won't know until we meet, so we can kick that one to next week. Work release signature. We already did that one.
This one?
Yep. Contractor assignments, letter for culvert precinct map. You guys have got the precinct map under control with them.
Well, they were going to redo the hash marks or colors or whatever.
Yeah, so just work with them on that one. I think we were all in agreement on that one. So December 7th, tribe meeting, just communicate. Okay, other than that, that's all I've got.
Longer conference, when is it?
February.
My wife wants to make reservations.
Oh, good. Last week of February, usually.
Last week and the 1st of March. So.
Yeah. It would be the February 20th through the 24th, I believe. Well, 20th through the 24th.
20th through the 24th?
Yeah. Monday, does it, it's Monday's a travel day though, right? They don't do anything on Monday. So it really starts on Tuesday.
Tuesday's usually for the guys that's going in for training. Board yeah. members usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sure.
And that was when? February what?
February 22nd, I would say, through the 24th. Tuesday, I mean, there's some... I've never been down Tuesday. I just go down Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. So it's February 27th to March 3rd.
Oh, never mind. I lied to you. They changed it this year. Really?
What'd you say?
February 27th to March 3rd.
So you'd be March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
It's at the Dixie Center.
In St. George.
And registration opens December 1st.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. I called and checked on for the Christmas dinner.
Oh, yes, that was the other thing I had.
I did Wednesday, December 7th at 6 o'clock. So do you want to keep that or go change? You know,
I think that was the date we planned, right?
That's the way you guys come up with, so I
We got the date, though.
Yeah.
Good. Meet with the tribe and eat steak that night.
You're
going to
be
people. Okay, one more item I just remembered. Commissioner Killian called me before the meeting.
Great.
And wanted us to talk about security on our bank, accounts. Cedar Viewmont Well got hacked this last week, $180,000. Somebody paid a utility bill, overpaid intentionally. I don't know how they paid on a utility, and it wasn't linked to somebody, but they evidently, I don't know exactly the ins and outs, but they asked for a reversal, and they asked for the information, the bank information, and they gave it to them. And they drained $180,000 out of their account, everything they had. So he just wanted us to be aware that there's some stuff going on. Dry Gulch, there was something that happened today. I was in there talking with Bonnie and Roger Ames. Somebody made a $6,000 deposit just anonymously, not tied to anything. And they're trying to figure out who deposited that money, but chances are somebody's going to want to reverse that back out at some point. It could be a potential hack as well.
Yeah, we got one once, and... I told them I couldn't do anything because they don't have an account on our system. And then I called Express, our credit thing, and they couldn't find anything. So after I told them that, I haven't heard a word.
Good. Could just be aware there's some activity going on there.
Well, what happened to the medical center? Finally, they got a ransom attack, shut down everything over there.
Yeah, things are on the uptick. People are getting desperate. And theft is another thing. I just got thinking budget, fencing. We've talked about fencing around this yard since we built this building. That's one thing I think needs to be on our list.
Especially if we've got a right-of-way going next to it.
Exactly. It may be something that you want to kind of...
Budget in there.
Budget in.
That's what he put on that one list.
Yeah.
But it's also for the security of the tanks. So Bonsville's probably the most important to get done.
Well,
and then Ioka after that.
Yeah. So I don't know how the board feels, but I think that's something that we probably need to squeeze in for the building as well. Roosevelt City's been broken into in the past week. Thousands of dollars worth of tools have been stolen.
Where?
Our maintenance building, our road department.
How'd they break in?
Just kicked the door in. Kicked the door in and took what they wanted to.
Did they have any security at all?
We don't have any either.
Nope, but we are getting some now. So, anyway, just be aware. And we're off the road. We're on a less traveled, you know, side. The Ioka Road's not really.
We do have security.
The neighbor has some.
Good. Anyway, but something to be aware of. Okay, I think that's all. There is one item that Dusty asked us to go into closed session for real quick. So I would entertain a motion to go into closed session.
So,
okay.
Do you need us?
No. Dan moved, Paul seconded, and we'll make it quick. So.
Okay. Drew. Yes.
Yes. Sorry. Oh yeah, roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Paul, yes.
Yes.
And acting chair, yes.
Okay.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week then, Dixon, I guess.
Yeah, as soon as he calls me, I'll let you know.
Okay, very good. Appreciate it.
Thanks.